Pastor Jason and myself, months in advance, we plan out what we're going to be speaking on. And my assignment for this week was to prepare our hearts to give thanks, not just because this is Thanksgiving week, but because God has called us to give thanks. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Then this week came. And Monday, I took my wife. She had to get some cancer off her nose. And the good news, they got it, but it was a long day. We were there for 8 hours. It's just a long, not good process. And then the next day came by, and my foster grandbabies had a court date, and this long process just got longer. And then Wednesday came, and as you know, I have my 94-year-old mother living with me, and she's a World War II vet, and I have been trying to get her the benefits that are due her. She is eligible for what is called aid and attendant care, and so we put in the paperwork 13 months ago. It's only supposed to take 12 months. And I call, and they're in the decision phase, but like nothing. They're not moving. And I'm like, and it's a nice lady I'm talking to, but it's like, are you waiting for her to die? She's 94. It's like, don't they like stack rank who should get these benefits? And to say all that, and there's other things, but Wednesday morning, I'm working on this message, and I'm driving the struggle bus. I'm looking at this passage, and I'm like going, well, I'm going to be a hypocrite because I'm not rejoicing. Matter of fact, I'm a little bit crabbing. I'm not praying. I am complaining. I guess that's a complaint prayer, but and giving thanks. No, I really wasn't. I was rather irritated. And I don't know. It's just one of those things where it's like, nothing seems to be going right. And I don't know if you've had those days and those weeks, but I don't think I'm alone. So today I am preaching from what the Lord has brought me through. And for the fellow strugglers, I pray the Lord will speak to us. After all, what are you going to do? Are you going to complain? So we're going to talk about this, and we're going to get into the need to give thanks. And what happens if you don't? It is a choice that you will make, to give thanks or not to give thanks. So let's look at this. The practical need for giving thanks. And it's practical. Friends, we live in a fallen, messed up world. In Genesis chapter 3, when sin enters the world, not only is the ground cursed, but everything is cursed. We live in a fallen system. We are all sinners. We are all in bodies that are decaying. And I was thinking about this, and I said, well, what's the best way to describe what goes on? We're in the sea of negativity. And it is a sea. And it is bad, and it's not good. And if you were to look around and you say, well, why is life so hard sometimes? Why do we have weeks like that? Well, because of the fall, work is difficult. It is a lot harder. Some of you work in work environments that are toxic. You work with people that are unkind. Some of you have great environments, but there's a great many of you that if I said you're looking forward to going to work tomorrow, you'd say, not so much. We live in a world of divided people. I'm sure you could say the country was probably a little more divided like during the Civil War, but it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. Nobody likes anybody. And add to it, if you turn on the news, which really isn't news, it's just opinion and commentary, but it's all bad. There's nothing good. And that can get you going negative. And then you add to that, we have health concerns. I mean, I could go row by row, and you might be healthy. Thank the Lord for that. You might be healthy, but there's someone in your family that's not doing well. either mentally, mental health, emotional health, physical health. How many of our friends and relative and loved ones are struggling? And then there is the all difficult unmet expectations. Because this week I looked at my life and there were certain things that I thought would happen. And they didn't happen. And it seems like they, I don't know about you, you ever go in a mode where it's like, it's just like, I keep getting like, no or wait answers, no or wait. And we have these expectations, like, I would think that the government would want to care for a World War II vet. They don't. I mean, so that's my expectation. And so what happens? Frustration. And then you have thrown into that people, negative, sinful, critical people, of which I am one of them. So you take all of this, and it's real easy to be in this sea of negativity, and this sea grows. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And it can dominate your life. I literally get phone calls throughout the week of people who this is their life. And it's not good and it's not healthy. And we're all there. And I got to tell you, Wednesday morning, I was there. I was having my pity party right in the sea of negativity. Everyone's stupid. No one does their job. It's all bad. And so God, in his wisdom, you know what he's done? Because he knows we live in this world. He has ordained, if you would, the sea of thanksgiving and praise. We're called to do this. Matter of fact, we are absolutely called to be this kind of people. And throw into this. Let's just throw into this too. There's a God and there's a devil. And the devil wants to mess you up. He wants you to be negative. He wants you to take those sinful people who are sinful. They're in your life. And he wants to get you twisted. So what does he do? He gets a foothold. And he tries to get you thinking so negative and so down and there's no hope. And that's life. And so in this spiritual warfare, God is saying, wait a minute, people. We are called to be, as his children, people that give thanks. See, God has made himself known. In Romans chapter 1, it says, for although they knew God, everyone knows there's a God. In that video, talked about that atheist person. Everyone knows there's a God. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I was in the wrong page. For although they knew God, what may be known about him is plain. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have made, so that they are without excuse. And here's the verse I was reading. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. When we don't give thanks, we're not honoring him. It says, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. And as a believer, though we understand the truth, we get dark. We get to the place where you don't see God, you don't see hope, you don't see anything. You just see negative. And so God in his love and his mercy has said, wait a minute, no. You, my friend, you are called to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, to give thanks in all circumstances. And you know what all means in the Greek? All. We're to give thanks in all circumstances. And you could say to me, and I would be right in your corner, but do you know my circumstances? My circumstances are hard. And they are. And God knows those circumstances that you're in. He knows the struggles that you're in. He knows the relationships that you're in. He knows your health. He knows what's going on in your family. He knows what's going on in your workplace. He knows what's going on in your mind. And he has ordained this. Billy Graham has said, Grumbling and gratitude are, for the child of God, in conflict. Be grateful and you won't grumble. Grumble and you won't be grateful. So it is true. These two C's, they're competing. They're competing right now for your heart and your mind. And it happens. And so I want to spend the rest of this message begging us all, and really these are the things I've been preaching to myself all week, to get a perspective on life, because I'm telling you, I was here for a few hours, and this is not a good place to be. It's just not that. I mean, can we just be honest for like a hot second here? When you're in this place, horrible things come into your mind. And some of you are like, you're judging me, like, oh, you're, you know, what kind of pastor are you? You stink. Okay. But some of you are saying, I get exactly what you're talking about. Because when you're swimming in this swamp, you don't see God, you don't see hope, you don't see anything. You just see, sometimes it's like, you just think some bad thoughts. Now, we know God says, don't go there. But there's this warfare that's going on. So we're going to battle for this. We're going to look at reasons to give thanks. And there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. But again, it's like you got to take your eyes off of yourself and off of this. Because if you don't, guess what? You could choose to just check out right now. But tomorrow's going to come and you're going to be in the pit of hell in your mind. Because that's going to stay here. So what has God given us? Why does he want us to give thanks? What are things that we should? Why should we give thanks? Well, right off the bat, give thanks for his great love for us. Scripture says that. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Matter of fact, even though right now you might be here and thinking and having a horrible attitude about life, if you're a believer, and even if you're not a believer, here's what God's done for you. When we were by nature object of wrath, it says this in Ephesians 2:4, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. If you know Jesus, if you understand that, yes, you're a sinner, and yes, you have come to the place where you know that Jesus died for you, that he paid the price for your sins, and if you can come to him and by faith turn and repent and give your life to him, you know that your sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. All those horrible things that you have done, thought, you're not going to be punished for, because Christ took that on the cross. And so we as a people, we can say, oh, give thanks to the Lord. Let me go back to that. Go back one. There we go. We can give thanks and we can praise his name for what he has done, because he is good. He is good. He has removed my sins. He doesn't treat me as my sins deserve. If he never answers another prayer of mine, he has asked he has answered the prayer I said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, forgive me. He's done that. And so I can give thanks, and I should give thanks to him for what he's done. Second thing, give thanks because of what he has given us. Do you know how much he has given you, if you think about that? I mean, how much has the Lord given you? He's given you everything. The scripture says very clearly that he himself has given all mankind life and breath and everything. So, you're all clothed. He gave you those clothes. You all have breath in your lungs. He gave you life. How many of you walked to church today? I think a couple of you did. Anyone walk in this service? How'd you get here? Well, you drove. Well, God provided you a car that works. And some of your cars are old. And yet you turned that key, and by God's grace, it started. You have food. You have heat in your house. And all of those things, the Lord in His goodness have given to you. I mean, here's the problem is, we go through life with this entitlement mentality. Well, of course, I deserve to have everything. Most of you are able to walk in here. By God's grace, He's given you the physical ability to do that. You might be struggling, but you're able to. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said to pray this way, give us this day our daily bread. We don't pray that. We don't have to pray that. We kind of pray, not only do I want, I got bread in the bank, but I want bread, I want a certain kind of bread, I want cheesy bread. And we get picky in the bread that we have. I mean, if you think about it, we're a blessed people, and to give thanks for all of those things He's given us. And we should. Here's the passage where He says in Psalm 105, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people, sing to Him, sing praises to Him, tell of His wonderful works. I mean, you were raised in a family, most of you, where you got a decent education. And if you had to work for it, and a lot of you did, He gave you a mind to comprehend things. Why do you have the intellectual knowledge to do what you do? And there's some people who don't. Because God's been good. He's given you that gift. And so we give thanks. Reason number three, point C here. Give thanks for people God has put in your life. Paul said a couple times, I thank my God in remembrance of you. I thank my God always when I pray, when I remember you in my prayers. Think about this. The people that God has brought into your life to be a blessing to you. Some of them influenced you, they impacted you, they helped you, they encouraged you. Some of them in your family, some of them are not, some of them are there for a short time. But if I said to you, can you think very quickly of 3 to 5 people that you look at and say, oh, I thank God for them. I thank God for them in my life. I wouldn't be where I am at if it wasn't for these people. Can you do that? Just right now, think of 2 of them. I look through this service right now, and in the first service, I see the Holcombs back there who have been, I've been here 16 years, and they have been a help and a support and a prayer. I think of the Brewers. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for those people supporting and helping and encouraging. First service, the Reimers are there. You know, the Reimers, Jim has been an elder from the very beginning, and if it wasn't for he and Portia, the flame of missions, they have kindled that, they have helped, they have made this church better. Jim Johnson, who's been on boards and committees, I mean, and don't get me wrong, there's dozens of you that have sent me texts, encouragement. You have blessed my family with help and gifts at times. It should be real easy to look around and say, man, if I look at my life, if I stop and I get out of this negativity and take a step back and say, wow, thank you, Lord, for that person. Thank you for that person. You know, it's really a good thing to do. And even tell them in word and action and attitude, even within your home. It's a good thing. I mean, He's been better to us than we deserve. I mean, Pastor Jason, I've been here 16 years. Pastor Jason has been with me for 13 years. Do you know what a gift he is to me and to this church? Do you realize that? I mean, could you imagine if you had to deal with me every week? I would choke some of you. I mean, it would not be good. But he balances me. He makes me better. I mean, there's so many people to give thanks for. It's a great thing. Letter D, give thanks. It is the antidote to anxiety. And Paul says in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. And that's another one of those verses that I just want to say, really? I mean, and you know, I repent of that because, you know, God's God. But I mean, I just look around. Which of you don't have, I mean, we all got big issues going on. And right now, your life might be smooth. But there's some of you, I look around, and it's like, oh, they're heavy things. You know, I mean, I was talking to Julie Londo on the way out. My little grandbaby's got some big test on Friday. I mean, that's tough. But potential health concern, that's tough. And yet the scripture says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There's so many things in this world that we live in that has fallen that we can be anxious about. And yet he says, don't go there. I mean, you can, but you're going to be miserable. And so what do? By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and something amazing happens. You do. You have the peace of God, which passes all understanding. It may take you a while to get there. Winston Churchill said this, "When I look back at all these worries, I remember the story of the old man who said on his deathbed that he had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which never happened." So you look at your life, and I go to worst case scenarios all the time. I'm one of those people, because I want to deal with it. So it's like, okay, Jane's got to go in for, like, well, she's got nose cancer. Okay, well, she's going to die, is what I thought. And so I go worst case scenario, what am I going to do? And which is stupid to do, but then you worry and you think and you go through all those things, and yet a lot of that worry is for nothing. And even if worst case does happen, like Job said, though he slay me, I will put my hope in him. I'm going to trust him. Because here's the reality. None of us are getting off this planet alive. And that problem that's going on right now, most likely the Lord's going to see you through. But for some of you, I mean, some of these people that I think about, and you know, I think of Nancy Saluka. She was in my thanks bowl. It's like now she's with Jesus and going to enjoy her first Thanksgiving in glory. You know, those things happen. But it's all good. We're going to be delivered. He tells us, though, to cast our cares upon him. Letter E, give thanks that God uses trouble. Another hard one. None of us like this, but when James says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kind, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and steadfastness has its full effect that you may be perfect or complete and complete, lacking in nothing. This is, again, a hard one, but if you look at your life, who you are, who you are. If you have any depth of character as a Christian, you are who you are because you've gone through hard times and you have held on to the Lord. You have held on to him. Charles Spurgeon said this, and I love this. Surely as the stars are fashioned by his hand and their orbits fixed by him, so surely are our trials allotted to us. For he ordained their season, their place, their intensity, and the effect they shall have upon us. So just like in the book of Job, God opens the gate, allows trials and troubles into your life. And if you're like me, I don't like them. Can I just tell you that? I don't like trials. I don't. But then I have to take a step back and say, okay, Lord, you're working in this. And you've ordained them for a season. They're only here for a while. Their intensity, their effect that you want to have on that, on us. Because in reality, if you look at your life, you are who you are because you've gone through hard things. And God has brought you through those hard things. It wasn't you pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. God in his mercy developed character in you. And for that, you give him glory. If you're like me, I look back at some of the trials I've been through. I don't want to go through those again. They're horrible. And then some of yours are a lot horrible than the group I've had to go through. But I know this. He works. K. Arthur said this, God is in control, and therefore everything, in everything I can give thanks, not because of the situation, but because of the one who directs and rules over it. So if you're like me, Wednesday morning, and I'm having this pity party, I'm like, okay, Lord, can you throw me a bone? I mean, really, it's like everything's a nowhere await. And I have to sit there and say, wait a minute, and start preaching to myself, you're in control. And so I can give thanks not because of the situation. Situations stink, but because you rule and direct over it. I have to trust him. And so do you. If not, you will live in that swamp, that sea of negativity, and it grows. And then you get around negative people. How's that work? If I'm negative and Chris is negative, do you think that's going to be good? No. We're going to have a little pity party, and we're going to whine and complain, and we're going to feel better that I've been able to vomit on him, and he's been able to vomit on me, and I was like, yeah, both our lives stink. Isn't that great? And it's not great. We haven't helped each other. We might have found a fellow miserable person, and if you're happy, oh, I'm going to vomit on you because I don't want you being happy. I mean, that's how we are. And so what are we called to do? Here's what happens. When a trial comes, we start the free fall. And you're falling, and you're falling, and you're falling, and you're going down, and you're thinking, I'm going to hit the rocks. I'm done like dinner. And what do we have to do? It's in that point, you have to deploy the ripcord. You got to deploy the chute. You got to pull the ripcord. And the more you know God's word, and the more you know God's character, the quicker you pull that ripcord. You do. And when you pull the ripcord, something amazing happens. The parachute opens. You get perspective like that. You know what's scary? Is when you free fall for days and days and weeks and sometimes months. But listen, when the moment you pull that ripcord and you trust the Lord and you give him thanks, you're going to be okay. Because if you're a believer, God has your life. He has any junk you have, and some of you, you got some terrible junk. I got my share of junk, but you got your junk. He's going to see us through. He's going to see us safely home. We're going to be in his presence real soon. And so what K. Arthur says is true. God is in control, and therefore in everything I can give thanks. Not because of the situation, but because of the one who directs and rules over it. Isn't that good? I mean, what are you going to do? If you did not have that as a believer, what a miserable situation. I mean, that's the joy of being a Christian, is to know, yep, all these things are true. This week, you're going to have unmet expectations. It's true. But, okay, God, you have that. You know, will the government ever give my mom her benefits before she dies? Who knows? But either way, it's all going to be good. I can sit there and worry about it and whine. I mean, I do what I can. I've contacted people. But at the end of the day, nothing's going to change that. Nothing's going to change what's going on with my foster grandbabies. Nothing's going to change what's going on with some of your health concerns. You try to fix it. But I do a lot of funerals. And so we trust them. Letter F, give thanks. It is God's will for us. That's what the verse says. This is not an option. It's what the point on this one. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, Christian. And it takes us a while to get there, but he commands it. You know, as elders, we want people doing four things. We want you serving, but the next three that I'm going to mention help in this issue. We want you to be in worship. We want you to be here so you can hear messages like this. We want you to be studying God's word so you'll know the truth, that you can pull the ripcord and that parachute will deploy quicker. And then we want you in accountability, because there are people who can and will pray for you, help you, come alongside you, check in on you. If you're a lone coal away from the rest of the grill, you're going to grow cold quick. And so that's why we want you to do that. And And when we do, we end up glorifying the Lord. It says in Psalm 50:23, the one who offers thanksgiving as a sacrifice glorifies me. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the Lord with the song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. That's what we're called to do. So how do we do this practically? Let me give you some practical ways. Because I do think theory is great. You guys get the concept, I hope, and the reason why. But how do I do this when I leave here? How do I? Because right now, you might be right here. It's like, okay, how do I get out of this hole? How do I get out of this sea of negativity? You do need to start by, you got to have massive amounts of spending time with the Lord. You got to praise him. You got to get in and get in the Lord's face and spend much time with him. You can't be a stranger. The longer you're a stranger, the more you'll be in this sea. You know what my job is? I figured it out. I should be part of the Coast Guard. Where's our Coast Guard guys? I mean, they're here. I should be part of the Coast Guard because I'm like a rescue dog. I go around and I fly around and I try to sit there and scoop people out of the sea by giving them hope in God. It's like, turn your eyes, people. And I lower down to them God's word. And God's got to do it. But that's what we're called to do. And you can't be a stranger to him. You got to be in his word. I should say this. You can be a stranger. Go ahead, be a stranger. You're going to be miserable. And by the way, everybody around you is going to be miserable because this sea of negativity is contagious. So this is what you got to do. Second, you got to write down. You got to specifically every day be thankful. Pastor Nate mentioned this last week. I'm a huge advocate of the Thanks Bowl. So Jane and I, last night we sat down and we went through and we pulled it out. And so you get a little sticky note and every day, or almost every day, you write it down. Now here's the problem. We forget. How many of you in the last week did not brush your teeth? Raise your hand, please. If you did not brush your teeth, I want to see your hand. Anyone? Oh, you remembered. So the capability is here, all right? Put this by your stinking toothbrush, all right? And you say, well, what do I give thanks for? Well, we had that snow, what was it, 4 to 6 inches? I went out to the garage, hit the primer on the snow blower, pulled it. It started. You know what I said? Thank you, Jesus. You know what made it into the thanks bowl? That did. You know, that's just, I mean, why? It's just a common thing. Well, it's like, well, it's supposed to start. Well, no, it started. Thank you. You know, come back from a trip. Thank you for safety. You know, thank you that, I mean, there's a million things. It's contagious when you really start giving thanks. You know, thank you that meeting went better than I thought. Thank you that when I went to the dentist, he didn't say, well, we got to yank all your teeth out. You know, I mean, or you had one cavity, but it wasn't five. There's a lot of things that we can give thanks for that we just assume. But if you write it down and you put it in, some of you journal, and that's fine. My wife's more of a journaler. But it's a tangible way because you know what happens? These two don't mix. You can't put this bowl in here because one of two things won't happen. You won't give thanks or you're not going to grumble. But when you start to do this, it helps you get perspective. You know, thank you for the good test. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. I mean, there's ways that, you know, thank you that I hurt, but not as much as I used to. And so get practical in that. Part of this is you got to confess in gratitude. We need to say thank you more to the Lord. And when we're not grateful, it's sin. He's commanded us to do it. And when we don't do it, it's sin. So we got to deal with that. We got to confess it. We do need to saturate ourselves with God's word. Lower God's word to different people. Help yourself do that. But even that devotional we're giving you out there, if that gets you into the word daily, put it in your bathroom. When you're brushing your teeth, read a day's worth. For some of you, it's more Bible than you're giving yourself every day. And then give thanks to people. There are people who right now you can write a note to, send a text. Have you ever gotten a text? And from time to time I get these. I'll get a text from somebody who says, I just want to thank you that da 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 da. And God had you in my life at that point. There are people that God has and has put in your life that you can say to them, thank you. It might be an encouragement to your parents, young people, because they think that you don't think that they did any good. Well, you can send them a thank you note. I mean, there's ways to practically do this. And what you're doing is you're getting yourself out of this sea and you're going into that sea. And that's a good thing. One last thing. In the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, when they were going into the promised land, he commanded that they grab 12 memorial stones. And so they had these stones and they cross over the Jordan and they put them down and it says, these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial. So we're not going to carry around big boulders. You're not even going to carry around a bunch of rocks in your pocket because that's not practical. But you know what you can do? You can use what God has given you, your phone. And you can put memorials in there. You can put remembrances in there. So here's how it works. And this is the Apple. I don't know if the Android people can do anything. Can they do that, Andrew? I know you're a big Android. Yeah, they can. Okay. So they can do more. Okay. Doubtful. Anyways. So they have this thing, the Lunar New Year. Whatever that is. Okay. I don't know. Groundhog Day. That's great. So when I go to my calendar, it's like, oh, it's some kind of holiday, you know. And the funny thing is they're adding holidays all the time. So it was like Pets Week or something a little while ago. It's like, oh, great. But you can hijack that. And here's what I've done. This is my spiritual birthday. July 4th, 1981, Jesus opened my eyes. And so what I've started to do is when you know God has done something, put it in your phone. So when you're going through and you see that, you go, oh, just a few days ago, I put it in my phone. One of our foster babies has been with us 2 years. And it was just a good reminder, you know. And so those kind of things, just send it out, remember it. And here's the thing. We don't have any options here. I mean, you could stay here and be miserable. Or we can live in that sea of thanksgiving, which God has commanded, and it is good. And you know what happened? I mean, my Wednesday morning was not good. By Thursday morning, the parachute opened. And I know the Lord's got all this stuff. Nothing's happened that's changed the situations. But you know what has? My perspective, because the God of the universe has my life. So as the band comes forward, I want to pray for us. Lord, you know our hearts. You know those who, for an hour, a day, a week, a month, maybe a year, have been in the sea of negativity. And I pray, Lord, that you would do a sovereign work in our lives, that we change. Lord, our circumstances for many of us are not going to change. But you have promised that if we turn our eyes to you in thanksgiving, that our attitude will change. And so, Lord, we can only change what we can change. And that's what you've called us to do and to be. So I pray that by your Spirit, Lord, you would do it. And that this Thanksgiving, even as we gather on Wednesday night, that this Thanksgiving would be the best Thanksgiving. And it wouldn't just be a holiday, but it would be a continual pattern of our life of gratitude as we give you praise. Lord, for that person that right now that they can't see the clouds open, they don't see sunlight, they don't see you, Lord, part those clouds that they would see you. Even do that now, I pray, for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to sing some songs, a little medley of songs of thanks that have always
helped me focus my mind on being more thankful than being negative or grumbling. realize just how much that we have to be thankful for. You may not know some of these, but I think you'll be able to pick them up. The first one goes like this. Thank you for the cross, the mighty cross. That God himself should die for such as us. And every day we're changed into your image more and more. Yes, by the cross we've truly been transformed. Try that. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul.
Father, we want to say thank you. Lord, do a work in our hearts that this isn't just an emotional blip on the screen where we give thanks for just a week. Help us to be transformed, that we would give you the praise that you deserve. Thank you, Lord, that you have us. Thank you that you're the God of the universe that's working. And all God's people said, amen.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks.